The gospel lesson is found in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. These are the words of Jesus. "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Our scripture readings on this first Sunday of Advent don't sound very Christmassy. Folks who come to church during the Advent season, hoping to hear each Sunday the familiar stories of the Nativity, might be disappointed. They might be expecting to hear the story about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary to break the astonishing news that her pregnancy test came back positive. They might be expecting to hear the account of the angel giving instruction to Joseph in a dream to take Mary as his wife, even though she's already pregnant. They might expect to hear the story of the shepherds and the choirs of the angels. But the scripture readings during these first weeks of Advent actually tell the Christmas story backwards. That is, today we heard the adult Jesus, just days before his suffering and death, promising that the Son of Man would come in a cloud with great power and glory at the end of the age, not as at his first coming when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Advent messes with our society's sense of getting ready for Christmas. Look at the fir tree and all the evergreen trees. As soon as they sprout ornaments, you can see for yourself and know that Christmas is near. Jesus spoke about getting ready in another way. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see that summer is already near. So also when there are signs in the heavens and distress among the nations, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Advent sets a different tone from the cultural Christmas that surrounds us with happy holiday tunes, that urges us to go shopping, reminding us that there's only 25 shopping days left before Christmas. The season of Advent demands a very different kind of preparation than visiting the shopping malls and ordering stuff from the holiday catalogs and planning holiday parties. Advent warns us that God is soon to come again. Not as at his first coming as a child born in Bethlehem, but returning at the end of time with power and great glory. So in Advent, we're really preparing for two comings. We celebrate God's first coming to earth in the infant Jesus. And we also get ready for Christ's return at a time we do not know. Jesus warns that this second coming will not be as peaceful and tranquil as we imagine Christmas should be. The world will be thrown into distress. The natural world will undergo great upheaval. The world as we know it will be dramatically changed. The evil powers of this world will suffer defeat. The systems of injustice will be destroyed. In our Old Testament reading, Jeremiah prophesies that in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up, and he will execute justice and righteousness in the land. Earlier in chapter 21 of Luke's Gospel, Jesus observes a poor widow putting all she had to live on into the temple treasury. Jesus sees this as an example of injustice. He predicts that the temple building and the system that supported it would be destroyed, that the whole world will undergo great distress. And yet Jesus says that this turmoil and disruption is a sign that God's redemption is drawing near, that God's kingdom is coming. There are some preachers and believers who take this text and emphasize its fearful and threatening message. They say that the violence that we see in the world today, the terrorist attacks, the earthquakes, the storms, the disease, the epidemics, or even the threat of a meteor smashing into our earth, are all signs of our eventual doom. But I believe that despite the frightening images this text offers, it offers encouragement and hope. The believers to whom Luke was writing his gospel were probably living on the margins of society, in a world riddled with disease and oppression and despair. And they actually found hope in this apocalyptic description of the world ending and a new and better world breaking in. And do we not also find ourselves at times longing for a new and better world? Texts like this elicit different reactions. Fear, anxiety, and worry, but also hope, peace, and joy. I've been thinking about a famous painting by Vincent van Gogh entitled The Starry Night, which seems to capture this feeling that we get during the Advent season of both anxiety and hope. And I wish I had here for you a large reprint of this picture, which you might recognize. And I left a couple of copies just for you to look at on the action table and on the bulletin board, or you might go to the internet and look for yourself at this wonderful painting. Van Gogh was the son of a Dutch pastor. And for a time, he ministered as an evangelist to the poor. He was very familiar with this text from Luke 21. His painting depicts an apocalyptic sky, like that described by Jesus. There are swirling clouds of bold yellow and white on deep dark clouds of blue and black. There is the yellow moon and some bright stars, and in the background is a small town with a church steeple as its prominent feature. And in the foreground, you see a flame-like image which connects earth with heaven. And like Advent, this painting elicits different reactions. Some see it as a daunting image of a frightening sky. Others see it as a bold and beautiful glimpse of God's redemption of the world. When Luke wrote his gospel, he was admonishing the Christian community to neither ignore nor to be afraid of Christ's return. He said, be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. But be aware of that it's coming. A new world. It's not always easy to wait for God's redemption. From time to time, we go through periods of anxious waiting. Perhaps it's waiting for the diagnosis from a doctor, or for the safe return of a family member on a tour of duty, or perhaps waiting for a better job to come along, or waiting for the acceptance or denial letter regarding a college admission. We wait for the ache caused by the passing of a loved one to diminish. There is this longing. And in moments like this, Jesus would have us neither look anxiously ahead and worry, nor close our eyes while time passes by. Rather, Jesus directs our attention to our daily living and to those around us, to live in anticipation of the hope of the coming of God's kingdom. According to one historian, during the American colonial period in the late 1700s, the Connecticut House of Representatives was in session on a bright summer day. Of course, they didn't have electricity back then, but the delegates were easily able to do their work by the natural light coming in from the windows. But then something unexpectedly happened that caught the legislators off guard. There was an eclipse of the sun, and the day suddenly became dark as night. Some took it as a sign that the end of the world had come. They panicked. Some began to fall on their knees to pray. They called for an adjournment of their meeting. But then one of the legislators, a Christian believer, stood up, held his head high, and said, Mr. Speaker, if we adjourn and it turns out not to be the end of the world, we shall appear as fools. And if it is the end of the world, I, for one, choose to be found doing my duty. I therefore ask that candles be brought so that we may continue our work. We do not have to save the world. Jesus will do that in his own time. But we can do our best to make our corner of the world a little better, safer, more hopeful, because we live in the joy that Christ has come and that he will come again to relieve all suffering, comfort all sorrow, and bring redemption for all God's people. And for this reason, even in the most distressing of times, we can stand up and raise our heads because we know that our redemption is drawing near. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.